That's fair. So I don't, you know, whenever we say, oh, God's not fair, you can rest assured that's right. In one sense, he's not fair based on our system. Based on our system, man's system, he'll never appear to be fair. But I'll tell you one thing, you take grace. Grace is a beautiful thing. Unmerited, not based upon your works or your righteousness. Isaiah says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Think about that. He didn't say when you're out here Monday, you're at work and you hit your thumb with a hammer and you let out a string of words that ought to shame most of us. He didn't say whenever you were out here, these guys down here at the pool hall. He didn't say that. He didn't say when they're out there in Las Vegas, you know, gambling, living it up, drinking, and throwing all caution to the wind. He said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In other words, the very best you've got is as filthy rags. So when God looked down upon men, that's what he saw. When he looked down upon the children of men, he was looking to see if any did understand. If there was any that did seek after God, and what was his conclusion? No, not one. Okay. Now. The fact that God did make a choice of his children, it ought to be the very hallelujah of us today, and it'll be someday the very hallelujah of heaven. But he did. When did he make the choice? That's easy enough to answer. We go here to the book of Ephesians. You've heard me quote it many times. We'll start out in the first chapter, the third verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Talking about Christ, for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him and love. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. You mean he looked down from heaven and saw me, an undefiled, a sinner, a wretched, wretched sinner? You mean he saw me whenever I was unlovable and I was unloving? You mean he saw me whenever I was hateful and hating one another? You mean to tell me he saw me when I ran with those who spitefully used his name? He saw me whenever I took his name in vain. He saw me when I was in my worst condition. That's right, he saw you. And guess what? That did not change his love for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You want to know why he chose you? That was the answer right there. It ain't because of what he saw. It was because of the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accept him. He doesn't say that. Where he hath made us accepted in him. Who made you that way? I woke up one morning and decided I wanted to clean up my act. Therefore, that made me acceptable with him? No, it's not what it says. It says that he hath made us accepted in him. Talking about in Christ. Who did the making? God. When did he do it? When did he make you accepted in Christ? He done it when he chose you in the mind and purpose of God. Now, he had not fulfilled it till Christ died upon the cross and arose again from the tomb. But in the mind and purpose of God, it was already done. That tells us when you were chosen, It tells us why you were chosen. You go to the Roman letter. You say, well, I knew you'd have to get there eventually. Well, that's right, I will. I don't make any apologies for that when it comes to this text. You go start reading the 11th verse. Well, you can start at the 10th. And it says, not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now here comes Jacob and Esau. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You know what that says? That says that the purpose of God according to election is not based upon good or evil that they would have done. So therefore, foreseeing good or evil has no bearing on that whatsoever. This according to election, the choice, the chosen, was already made, and it was not based upon any good or evil that Jacob or Esau would do. Go look at Jacob and Esau when you get some time. I challenge each of you to go do that. Jacob's very name, if you were to look at it from man's eyes, who do you think I would have been more inclined to choose? I would have been more inclined to choose Esau. That's right. Why is that? Jacob's very name means supplanter, liar. Esau comes up from out in the field, and he's been out hunting, and he's so hungry that he asks for his brother for food. Now here goes the good Christian attitude. Watch this. Jacob, what does he do? He gets Esau to sell him his birthright before he gives him anything to eat. Oh, love thy neighbor as thyself. How about love your brother as yourself? Okay, that's Jacob. How about this? Then he gets the birthright from Esau. Then he gets the blessing of the firstborn. How does he do that? By fooling his blind father. Going in there and wrapping the skins around his arms to make him feel hairy like Esau. Esau was a hairy man. And goes in there and his mother cooks up a batch of stew just like old Esau would cook up. Because Isaac loved Esau's stew. Now that's a lot of trouble. That looks like something you'd see in the movies, doesn't it? But yet he does it. Cooks it up, puts those skins around his, and takes that in there and tells his father he's Esau. And then takes the right or the blessing of the firstborn. But do you realize that before they ever came into being, God had already declared, the elder shall serve the youngest. For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Somebody said, oh, he didn't really hate Esau. Well, then if that's the case, then I'm going to question, did he really love Jacob? I say he loved Jacob, and I say he hated Esau. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? In other words, is God not fair? You know what he does? He then answers that question and says, God forbid. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God made a choice. You know why he made a choice? Because it was according to the pleasure of his good will. And he could put that mercy and love on one and not do it on the other, because really and truly they all deserve none of it. Somebody, oh, that's not fair. My friends, we're talking about a righteous God. If he had truly given us fairness, then we would all have been in hell. But thanks be unto God, he chose some. And he didn't choose others. He left them alone. He did not worsen their state at all. Those nations, whenever God chose to love Israel, those others were no worse off than they were before. They were just left to themselves. I've used this example before, and I think it's a good one. I took a wife. I met my wife. I asked her to marry me. And it did none of the other 2.5 billion other women I hear any worse off. As a matter of fact, they probably ought to send me a Christmas card. But the point is, I chose one. She said yes, of course. But it didn't do any of the other women out here in the world. They're none the worse off. As a matter of fact, they, unlike this situation, they're probably better off. But the point is, we make choices every day. But whenever you make a choice, or I make a choice, of course, my son, 6 years old, he's quick to throw that, it's not fair on me now. He's in that stage where everything's not fair. But the point is, we make choices all the time, and our ways seem right in our own eyes. And when we foul go astray is where we take God and want to say that he's not fair. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I told you Peter talks about Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Somebody said, oh, that means God looked down through time and that's what he saw. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's that obedience. Whose obedience? Jesus Christ. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he goes on down and says, grace be unto you, peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I love that. Because then that tells me that everyone that he chose and everyone that he loved before the foundation of the world, and the ones that he's, those same ones are the ones that Jesus Christ came in this world to die for. Because you go to the 6th chapter of John, it says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. You go to the 17th chapter of John, and he says, then these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. For thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Who did they give to Jesus Christ? He gave the ones that he foreknew, those that were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Based on their unforeseen obedience and faith, not on your life. They were all doomed. They were all unrighteous. There was none that understood. There was none that seeketh after God. This here, this foreknowledge. Then you go back to the 8th chapter of Romans, and it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who did all that? It says, he. God did it. Not man. Not me. Not my dad. Not my loving grandparents, not any preacher. He did it. Why did he do it? Because it was according to the pleasure of his good will. Whenever you preach the doctrine of election, what you should see is you should see a high and lifted up, righteous, almighty God in whose presence sin cannot dwell. He cannot stand to see sin or to look upon sin. As a living proof of that, no man has ever seen him face to face and lived. See him high and lifted up, and then we see our case, less than the dust of the balances, and see his wonderful and amazing grace, how he loved us when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Go to the second chapter of Ephesians, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He loved you when you were dead in sins. It's quickened you together. That means something to you, my friends. I've got some good news for you. You're one of his. And there's something for you to do in this world. There's a place for you to be. And he has done all things well. I didn't mean to be scared. But I say, shall not the judge of all the earth be right? I'll say, let God be true and every man a liar. He has done all things well. And guess what? Some will say, well, what happens if somebody wanted to go to heaven? What happens if somebody truly wanted to go to heaven? You show me somebody who truly wants to go to heaven, and I'm going to ask you, where did they get desired to go? You know, my baby, she cries now whenever she wants milk. Where does she get that desire? It's a byproduct of having life. She desires to be fed because she has a natural life. You show somebody that wants spiritual things, spiritual food, and I'll show you somebody that already has spiritual life. And you say, why? Because it pleased God to set his love on you before the world ever began. He sent his son to die for you when you had not even been born into this world. And then he sent his spirit to quicken you again, to born you again of his spirit. But the things that I've said this morning, and the things that you read, and the times you pray, in whatever little feeble manner it may be for you and for me, that we might be able to call upon him. It's because he sent his spirit. And if we pass on in this life, there's a day coming when he's going to call again and call us to him. It won't be because I'm standing there in the grave going to be able to dig myself out. He's going to call my friends, and they're going to come out of there. Irresistibly. It's not a matter of waiting around to accept it. They'll come out. And guess what? They'll be justified and glorified, those that are his, to live with him in heaven forevermore. And that's why the song of the redeemed will mean something in heaven. For thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people. That song will mean something to you in heaven. Because you'll be able to see the entire picture. I don't understand it all. I'm not totally understanding it all. I'm totally believing. But I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't take all this world's gold from the doctrine of election. Because if it was based on my righteousness, it's filthy rags. If it was based on me trying to find him, I would not seek him out. I'm like old Jacob. He found me in a waste howling wilderness. He found me. I didn't find him. He found me. And you've got that in your heart, my friends. I've got news for you this morning. He found you, too. He was able to find every last one of his children. Then that brings another sermon on the eternal preservation of the saints. Those that he loved, those that he'll justify and call and quicken, they'll not ever depart from him because he paid the price for them. May God bless you. Keep his mouth closed. There's no way to stop on that. No way to stop. Let's stand and sing a song. Stand right here in fellowship. I want to thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for your presence. I want you to know we appreciate you coming to be with us. We want you to come back. And in the meantime, pray it, and go home and search your Bible out. I challenge you. I want you to go home. And if I'm wrong, you bring it back. Don't you come with your opinions. You bring that Bible with you. But you go home and search it out. And pray about it. And search it and pray and search it and pray. And pray that God will give you the light on it. And my friends, I'll tell you right now, that is one of the sweetest things, one of the sweetest doctrines. It's not an exclusive doctrine. It'll put more people in heaven based on what God has done and man and all their systems have been able to put there combined. There was a multitude that John saw in the book of Revelation that no man could number. There were as many as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore. Based on what? The doctrine of election. All the systems in the world combined will not put that many more than one of the children there. So, let's stand and sing. How about you? What, you got one, brother?
37.
Number 10. You read my mind. Page 37.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners flush beneath that blood.
Amazing Grace. We know that without having to read, okay?
Amazing.